I'd like you to take out your Bible, if you would. There is something that I would like us to turn to. We're multiplying hallelujahs when we're facing darkness, when we have opportunity to come before Him. It's Psalm 100 that I want you to turn to with me this morning. And we're going to read this psalm by giving the translation to the word Lord. Well, let me ask you this. When the Bible uses the word Lord, L-O-R-D, all capital letters, what is that referring to? Yahweh. And in Exodus chapter 3, God Himself gave the interpretation of what this word Yahweh or Lord means. Moses was interacting with the Lord when He had commissioned him on a challenge that he was to go to God's people and to lead them in a direction. And Moses says, if they ask me your name, this one who is sending me, what shall I say? Who shall I say sent me? And from that burning bush, which was the scene, the Lord said, I am who I am. Tell them I am has sent you to them. That's the translation of the name I am, Yahweh, Lord, as is used here. Always and forever, what you need. Now, going into the presence of Yahweh, look what is said here. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve I am with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that I am, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for I am His good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Our aim at Heartland is to connect, initially connecting to God and to other people. This focus is on connecting to God like He is, entering His presence. Our focus is not only to connecting, to be connecting to God and others, but to be changing into Christ-likeness. To have that process ongoing in our lives like the Lord intended. And it is to be carrying on this work of service to the Lord. Connecting, changing, carrying on. For connecting, I wanted to use that psalm this morning. Also for connecting, if you have this sheet, if you take it out on the back, Kazakhstan is the name of the country here. It is in Asia. It is right under the Soviet Union. And it is a country that has some natural resources that has increased its wealth quite dramatically, but also has the ongoing persecution for these folks. We're praying for countries around the world where it is the most difficult to follow Christ, to be his disciples. You can see the prayer notes there. I definitely like you to keep in prayer. Let's go to the Lord now. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of I Am. It is his name to be remembered, his memorial name to all generations. And as we bow before you, knowing that Jesus claimed to be I Am, before Abraham was, he asserted that he was I Am. And we come before you today, seeking to enter your presence with thanksgiving, to come into your courts with praise. Father, as we have assembled here in this building, as we have folks who are joining us via technology, we pray that our hearts will be lifted to I Am, that we will be connecting to him, and then we will be connecting to those in our world, changing to be what Christ has in mind, growing in carrying out his work of service here. Father, I pray that today in Jesus' name. And God's folks said, amen. So be that. So be that. Well, today is a brighter scene, though scene isn't put in there. Today provides us with a brighter scene to face. Last week, we were face to face with a dark scene. And that dark scene was very clearly depicted by John as being a dark scene in John chapter 13. So I'm going to ask you to turn there with me again to John chapter 13. And in that dark scene, which Jesus gave a picture of, telling beforehand what was going to happen, in that dark scene, we saw a basis for some of the dark scenes that we've seen recently. Scenes like this, the economic impact of the pandemic and what's going on with that. We took some time with that. The scenes of the Capitol building being stormed. Scenes of senators hiding like that in our nation's capital, some dark scenes for sure. And this week, we haven't lightened up a whole bunch in these dark scenes. Let's see, concerning the inauguration, which takes place this Wednesday, there have been arrests, one individual particularly carrying more than 500 rounds of ammunition who had a pass into the inauguration site, a forged pass, that was, counterfeit pass, with intentions, dark scenes. The dark scene particularly we saw was the one that Jesus talked about Judas and what the impact of that was going to be. Today, like I said, however, we come to a brighter scene. A scene that, in particularly, Jesus intended to instill hope, a bright light, into the heart of his followers. Concerning how he did this, if you're with me in John 13, let's zero in on verse 19, where with the pending darkness, Jesus impresses their heart with this, verse 19 of John 13. I am telling you this now, before it happens, that when it does take place, when it does happen, you may believe that I am. And that's the end of that sentence. The he has been added by the English translators, but Jesus' claim here was that you in your heart would be able to trust I am. Just like he spoke about to Moses. That's the bright light that Jesus brings to them here. It's about trusting I am. I want you to know in that dark scene, as in these dark scenes that we have, on those dark scenes, it is the same. Repeatedly, Jesus has spoken about being the I am. Repeatedly in John, he brings that point home to them. Before Abraham was, I am, Jesus said. And the Jews understood that he was claiming to be the Lord, Yahweh, the one who is to be worshipped for all generations, and they took up stones to kill him. John chapter 8 and verse number 58. Repeatedly he said things like, I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the door to the sheep. I am the way, the truth, the life. All of this, God providing what is needed. And Jesus was saying, I am that. I am that. This has been so important in the Gospel of John and so important in our time that it is about trusting I am. Whatever the scene, it is about trusting I am. This is so important that in thinking about this, conversation with our church leaders, this needs to be our vision in 2021. It needs to be about, personally, trusting I am, and about advancing, encouraging others in trusting I am. Just like Psalm 100 that we read said, come before him, I am, with thanksgiving, with songs. Know that he is I am, and we are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. It's about trusting I am. He brings light to the dark scene. And this morning, we see him do that with his disciples, and we see him do that for us today. In John chapter 13, the scene is dark. It is dark. John points out that it is a dark scene. Notice with me verse 30, where John says this. So, verse 30, after receiving the morsel of bread, he, referring to Judas, who was just spoken about and given that morsel of bread and being identified as the one who was going to betray him in the dark scene, he immediately went out. And look what John says, that it was night. And it was night. It was a dark scene. And notice how immediately in this dark scene of the betrayer going out that Jesus begins to break the light of dawn. Light for their road ahead. Pick up with me now at verse 31. Therefore, when he, Judas, had gone out, Jesus said, quote, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him," which Jesus said he was just a second ago, "if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately," at once. Jesus then directs his attention, verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while longer I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is light dawning on the scene. In the unfolding events of their lives, in the scenes that they will be looking at momentarily, immediately, Jesus said, as followers of Jesus Christ, sometimes the scenes look really dark. They do. And it should be this light for us, as well as it was for them, as the followers of Jesus Christ, whatever the scenes. You know, this week I've had some interaction with some believers that I didn't really know much before about, sat down with them. And in talking with them, they said things like this: "You know, I'm a big conspiracy theorist." And talked about what was coming down in an inauguration, and how the person was in turmoil. Dark scenes. Looking at dark scenes. It's on believers that the breaking of the dawn of he who said, "I am the light of the world," needs to break. It is on us as it was on them. The light in the dark scene. And how we pick up on that? Here, let me put it this way. John chapter 3, where Jesus is the light of the world, and we pick up on how to show that you're learning from Jesus. How to show that you are learning from him as he intended. And there's two things that we're going to pick up here on this. First of all, Jesus does very clearly direct here. He does, in the dark scene, give very clear direction that brings the crack of dawn. And we can very clearly participate too. We can. And not only can we, but we should. And dare I go this far? We must We must. We must participate in this. Now, I want you to know that I am not alone in recognizing that Jesus is shattering the darkness with a light of triumph, that he wants his followers to take to heart. I'm holding in my hand it's one of many volumes of sermons given by Alexander McLaren. He was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon in the 1800s. He preached in the same city. Spurgeon had his thousands, and McLaren, well, he had less. Nevertheless, McLaren has, through the years, sounded, and his messages have. And I want you to hear what he wrote in the 1800s. John, he refers to him as the evangelist here, has Judas out on his dark errand. He went out immediately, and it was night. Into the darkness that dark soul went. That hour was the power of darkness. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 22 at verse number 53. Now is the hour of the power of darkness in this. That darkness fell on his soul. In immediate connection, or in immediate connection with the departure of the traitor, comes this singular burst of triumph. Jesus said, therefore, based on that, did you get that? If you look here at verse number 31, it says, therefore, when he had gone out. Now, some translations, for some reason, don't include that. The New American Standard does, and the Greek text does, and the King James does, because the word is there. He is saying, therefore, based on what Judas just went out and did and set in motion, therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus singularly bursts forth with the note of triumph, and the crack of dawn comes. Jesus says this, now, right now, is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, then God will glorify him in himself, and he will do it immediately. What is to be anticipated here? What is to be anticipated as this light starts to dawn? On the glorious side, Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God the Father is glorified in him. Now, how is it? How is it that the Son of man is glorified in a horrendous act of betrayal from one who has been a close companion? How is the Son of God glorified, or the Son of Man glorified in that? How is God glorified when an innocent man with great miscarriage of justice is murdered? How is God glorified in that miscarriage of justice? How, in what has been called the most horrible event in human history. Where, well, let me draw this analogy. When I was in the third grade, I was in class one afternoon in November, when all of a sudden, the loudspeaker comes on with no announcement. And the loudspeaker was playing. It was like playing a radio broadcast into the room. And we were all just kind of doing our third grade stuff that you do. And we heard this noise going on. And then pretty soon, the words of this commentator, President Kennedy has been shot. And they go on and to describe that. And I want you to know, as a third grader, the whole school, the tone and the atmosphere of the whole school became sober and somber. We went home, and instead of pushing and shoving and all that kind of stuff that you do in the hall, getting on the bus as a third grader, we're just kind of all walking with some kind of a sense of shock. What is this? My parents, too. It was a dark scene. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget where I was sitting. I'll never forget the way I lifted my eyes and looked at the intercom loudspeaker. I'll never forget looking around. I'll never forget walking out of the hall that night. Or that after school, what, 3:30? An event in human history. And this was the murder of the Messiah of God. At the same time, Jesus said, it is the most glorious moment in human history. The most horrendous is the most glorious. How? For the Son of Man, how? Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. For the Son of Man, this is what was in his mind. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. This is what was in his mind. That although he existed in the form of God, he did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped and to held on to. But he emptied himself and took on the form of a man, coming as a servant. And as a servant, he became obedient. He became submissive. He gave himself totally to the will of God. He became submissive to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. God will glorify him, and he will glorify him in himself. God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is what? He is Lord. He is the one in charge. He is Lord. That's how the Son of Man is glorified. And Jesus, in the dark scene, brought the breaking of the dawn. Because he knew. He knew. Now is the Son of Man glorified. And God, he said, is glorified in him. How is God glorified in this miscarriage of justice, in the murder of a completely innocent man? Not only an innocent man, but the only man on the planet who ever did it right. How? Because John 3:16. God so loved the world. God shows the quantity and the extent and the length that he is willing to go in love, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, you know how this goes, right? Shall not perish, shall not die, but will have everlasting life. Because God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but to rescue the world. Here is how God is glorified. The extent of his love is brilliant. It is surpassing. It is outstanding. It is overwhelmingly large. And Jesus, in the dark scene, broke the light of the dawn. And God is glorified in him. That's quite a scene to take in. Do you really think that was the most horrible event in human history? Do you really think that at that very same moment, it was the most glorious event to come? That was the glorious side. Jesus broke the dawn. On the sad side of this event, as Jesus breaks the light, he said this, verse 33, little children. You know, that is a term of endearment, and it's a term of endearment that applies to everyone who receives Christ. To them, he gave the power to become children of God. It's even to those who believe, to those who trust in his name, who trust Jesus as the Messiah, who trust that they don't get there on their own. The only thing they can do is trust God's Messiah. To them, God gives the power, he gives the right to become children of God. And as Jesus turns and looks at them, knowing that they are children of God, he says, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You'll seek me. And just as I told the Jews before, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. He's leaving. He's leaving now, and he's never, ever, ever, ever going to be in with them in the same on-earth relationship that they've just gone through with him for 3 years. It will never be here again. I'm leaving. And he knew where he was going, John 13:1. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart to the Father, having loved his own who are in the world. He loved them to the end, to the very end, when he was saying it is finished, to the very end, he loved them. Where I'm going, to the Father, you can't come. It's then when Jesus went to the Father at the end of the cross, where he cried out, it is finished, Father. Into your hands I commend my spirit, just exactly in line with that Ecclesiastes 12:7 says that when it's over here, the spirit returns to God who gave it. You can't come. Peter objects, verse 36, and he says, where are you going? Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come. You'll come later. We go later. But not now. To the Father's presence. Spirit commended into his hands. The impact was sad. It was sad to them. In verse 6 of John chapter 16, Jesus says, because I'm saying this to you, sadness is filling your heart. It's never going to be the same. It is never, ever, 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 ever going to be the same. You know, life has hard things in it. Do you notice that? It doesn't take being a scholar to notice that. Doesn't take living very long before you notice that. From birth, here's this doctor kind of slapping you or trying to wake you up or do something. They probably don't do it exactly like that anymore. That's it. There you go. Yeah, hard things. I have to breathe on my own now? Life is filled with hard things. It has them. Even in the Lord, there are hard things. Difficulties, duresses, distresses, but always this light, always this light, always this light is present for the believer in Christ. Always this light that we're going somewhere, that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Because who he did foreknow, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he glorified. In the all things, in the all things, in the all things that are working together. The hard things, this is the light that dawns. This is the light. And I know that our emotions go when things happen. There was emotion that was expressed to me concerning the discovery of this man who got a forged pass into the inauguration site, carrying these 500 rounds of ammunition. There was emotion that was expressed to me. There's hard things. But always this light dawns. Always. God works it together for good. Working an eternal weight of glory. Now, he's glorified. I want to add this. What is to be pursued? Having established light in the dark, this is what's to be pursued. This is where we are to go with this. This is how we show that we are learners from Jesus, that we are learners, that we are. Well, you know what a learner is according to Bible terms? It's a disciple. A disciple is someone who learns from their teacher not only their ideas, their teachings, but also their way of life, the way they approached it, the way they handled it, what they did with it. That's a disciple. That's a disciple. And Jesus here, at verse number 34, sets out to them and to us what's to be pursued. Notice, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Interesting here, in a very short space, he's repeated it twice. No, he goes on and says it three times. What's to be pursued? What's to be pursued is a new commandment. It's a new commandment he gives. It's not new in regards to time. This has been around. It's in Leviticus chapter 19. It's in Deuteronomy. It is this thing that there is to be love. But what is new here is the new in the quality of this that he's saying. It's new in regards to the quantity of what he's saying. You know, I have back on the table there, a computer that Nate gave me, and he said, here, use this. Now, I had another computer, but this one is new. It's new in regards to what it can do and how it does it, its quality. It's new in regards to the quantity. So, using the old computer, it wasn't new in regards to the fact that it was here, this has just been made. No, it was new in those features. Jesus brings to them a new commandment in quality and in quantity. And he tells us what this newness is. It's to love one another as I have loved you. That's the quality of it. That's the quantity of it. This is the commandment. Now, you and I have talked many, many, many times together over this word love that is coined by God in the New Testament as the term for what is to exist in believers. It's love not in regards to merely, you make me feel good. It's not love in that, oh, there is this attachment that I have. No. It's a love that's a decision to do what's best for another regardless of how you feel or regardless of the outcomes that you foresee. It's to love. It's to make that decision and to act on that decision to do what's best as you see it for this person regardless of how you feel, regardless of the outcome that you foresee in this. It's to do that to the quality and the quantity that I have done for you. That's what Jesus is saying. It's a new command. It's new in regards to its features. How far did Jesus love us? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them how far? To the end. To the very end. To the very end of this. He loved them. And the quantity, greater love has no man than this, than to what? Than to lay down his life for his friends. That's the quality. That's the quantity. That you lay down your life, your wants, what you pursue in order to do what's best. That's the quality. And you know, there's a concern I have. Not long ago, I brought to you a note that was brought up to me by my kids, brought up to maybe several of my kids. It's here on my phone yet, what they sent to me, that the district attorney in California, as well as on East Coast states, has a list of crimes, this one's in L.A., that they will not prosecute for. And they list them. Here's the list of crimes that we are not going to pursue you on. They'll be dropped. You'll be out. I don't know exactly how they said it. I'm playing it up there. It's the list of crimes that will not be prosecuted for. And you know, this just makes me think so much of what Jesus said, that because lawlessness abounds, something's going to happen to the believers. He said it like this. Because lawlessness abounds, the love of many will grow cold. You know, I have a political position, and my political position doesn't really line up with a DA suddenly writing off some laws that have been on the books for a goodly while. Laws like breaking and entering, laws like trespass, laws like that. It kind of does away with this underlying concept of private property. I have some pretty clear views politically, and some views that my mom used to say, Tom is so conservative. And there are some things that I have what probably some would think of as liberal views. Let me ask you this. Are your political views, conservative or liberal views, different than mine, maybe different than another believer's, cause you not to love them? Does it cause your love to grow cold? I say to you, around for many who profess believers, that is the case. And they're ripping and they're tearing and they're angry. And churches, Pastor Vyers over the social media where he was preaching was talking about working with churches during this COVID time, and some are deciding for this about masks because it's a political move, and about this about masks because of their considerations, and it's ripping churches apart. What? A political view, a conservative view that has become an idol in the heart of someone where I am is to be Lord? We can participate in what Jesus told us to pursue. Love one another. Love as I have loved you. And there is an outcome to this. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Very clearly, we can participate. Look at what is accomplished. By this one act of loving, ongoing, keeping on to the end, all, that is every, that is any, that is all, that is the whole, that is everybody, that is all inclusive, all people, all human beings, everybody who lives on this earth will know by experience in their lives that you are learners from me, that you are my disciples, that you have gotten my picture across in your heart. It has been settled that you are learners from Jesus. You know, I hope I didn't say this harshly, but I hope I did say it intently, that masks, political, conservative, conspiracy, non-conspiracy views are not a basis to go cold in love in an age where lawlessness increases. It is not. It is an idol that you have in place of Yahweh. It's what it is. And I want you to know that this isn't something only for the 21st century. There was a man named Tertullian. He lived in 160 AD, and Tertullian was a writer as a believer. He was actually an attorney who became a believer. Can that happen? Can attorneys become believers? Are there such a thing? Yes, there are. And he began to speak for the Lord. And Tertullian wrote this: "But it is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. See, they say, how they love one another. They themselves are animated. See how they are ready to even die for one another. For they themselves will rather be put to death than not to love." It's rung. Since Jesus said that, it's rung through the ages, through the church, through the years, down to today. And there is a very big if on this. If you love one another, it's the condition. So, Jesus shows the light for the road ahead. Whatever the scene, Jesus gave us vision and he gave us direction. He gave us this. He gave us this. And now, for you and I, it's about trusting I am. Do you? Can we? We can. It's a new command I give to you. We can, by the power of His Spirit that produces fruits of love, joy, peace, patience. Goes on. It's the fruit that's produced. And he says, if we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Amen? Let's walk with him. We can. Father in heaven, it's an amazing love that you have sent to us. It's amazing in quality. It's amazing in quantity. It's amazing. And it's amazing that we have the Spirit to surrender our lives just like the Lord did and live in making decisions that are best as we see them for others, one another, in Jesus' name, amen.